Walker here with Hypnosis Etc. And today we're doing something a little different. It's a NoCal episode, and I'm here today with our friend L. Ron Ferguson. So excited to be here with him today. We don't get to do this very often. It's really exciting. I refused to do a Meredithathon because I just don't like the sound of that. L. Ronathon is so much more fun than Meredithathon. So L. Ron, I'm not sure if you guys remember how awesome he is, but he is one of the funniest, most amazing, smartest, most well-trained five pathers that exists. He's definitely one of the top of the one percenters. He works out of the Banyan Hypnosis Center, sees clients here in Tustin. Certainly I would send friends and family to him. He went through Cal's extensive training program, his internship program that, as far as I know, no longer exists. Just like I did. I think he was probably the last person to go through it. So he definitely went through the Cal Banyan boot camp. And he's here with me today. Hello, L. Ron.
Hello, Meredith. Thanks for such a wonderful introduction. It's good to be back. And for those of you that don't know Meredith, well, Meredith is awesome. And by awesome, I mean wow. She's a trained therapist in the professional and official sense, as well as a hypnotherapist and a five-pather. And whenever I have questions that I really need answered, I always give her a call. So thanks for being there when I need you, Meredith.
Always my pleasure, L. Ron.
The pleasure's all mine. What are we talking about today?
Well, first, before I really let the cat out of the bag, well, okay, I'll tell you first what we're going to be talking about, and then I have an announcement for you. So today we're going to talk about how to sell hypnotic services to new clients. So this is really important stuff. We, as five pathers and as hypnotherapists and hypnotists, we love what we do and we're in it to help people. And if we don't know how to manage those client calls, those first contacts appropriately, we might lose the opportunity to help that person. So we're going to dig in deep to that today. But first, I have an announcement. So Cal has one of his amazing NGH hypnotherapy certification courses, the 10-day course, coming up. It's the last one of the year. It's October 31st to November 11th, and we're coming up upon some early bird discount expiration dates. So if you hurry up and sign up by August 30th, so you're not going to have a whole lot of time, but just a little bit of time to sign up and get a $400 discount. And if you sign up by September 30th, you're going to get a $200 discount. So definitely you can check out the website. So everything's going to be posted right down there if you're on calbanyan.com as to where to go and how to sign up. So definitely be doing that. We both took that course and it was amazing. So today we are going to be picking L. Ron's mind, and I'm going to be giving my 2 cents or $2 or $20, whatever.
Inflation. $2 million.
$1 million.
Don't undervalue yourself.
My $2 million opinions. And we're going to be sharing, you know, some tips, tricks, and techniques to help to really connect with your clients and to make sure that you book them for sessions. So L. Ron happens to be somebody who has a little bit of a sales fetish. It's just kind of something that interests him. So he's done a ton of research, a ton of studying, he's taken a lot of classes. And so he happens to be kind of an expert on this. And I thought it would be fun for us to bring some of the information that he has and some of my experiences and help you guys to book those clients. So L. Ron, anything else that you want to get into as just kind of an introduction of the topic?
Yeah, sure. I mean, when we're talking about sales and developing your sales presence, I like to define it first because, number one, sales is a negatively charged word. And a little bit of the background as to why that is, I'll get into in a moment. But I say one of the main reasons that we want to talk about sales, why it's important, is because overall, when we're talking sales, we're really just talking communication skills and influence skills as well. But it's going to help you to make connections with people and position your product or service in a way that most meets their needs. I mean, the reason that we want to do sales in this era is because we want to build our businesses and get that repeat business. It used to be thought that a good salesman could sell ice to an Eskimo. And that was sort of like the 50s, 60s sales era. And that's what ruined the word sales for most people and ruined the mindset on sales. But the truth is that anybody who sells ice to an Eskimo is a moron, because you're not going to be in business very long. When we talk about sales now, it's about building relationships, about making friends. And really, ultimately, I heard a quotation once that says, the art of selling is about helping people make decisions that you think are good for them. And really, selling ethically, selling from service, and if you think and really believe in your product or service, and you sincerely believe that a prospect's life would benefit from what you're selling, whether that be in the health arena or whether it be something that would improve their life in another way, then are you not ethically obligated to, in some way or some form, position the information that you have so that they can make a decision? I think the answer is yes. And so I'd say that that's usually the first obstacle in learning about sales. And earlier, Meredith, you said, you know, that I'm an expert on sales. And I like to consider myself a student, really, because even the expert salespeople that that I admire and who I study that have been practicing it for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, they still consider themselves students, because it is always something that's changing and evolving. And just the way that the market changes, the way that advertising changes and marketing trends tend to shift and change as people go out of the quality area era into more of a finding the need and fulfilling it area, and different things like that. And so it is something that continues to evolve. And studying sales in whatever shape, way, or, you know, shape or form you can is always something that benefits anybody in any business, I think. Would you like to add anything to that, Meredith?
Yes, we are all always student and teacher, aren't we?
Certainly are.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good. So let's dig right in. You know, basically what happens is we get these calls, right? And people are interested in getting help, and they're kind of coming at us from all different directions and all different experiences, and the way that they are coming at us is different as far as their mood and what they're how interested they really are and what they're really interested in. And so there's kind of a lot of a question mark when you first get a call. And so is it a good idea, Elron, to prepare in advance to be ready to handle these calls?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's the shooting from the hip strategy, which can go great sometimes. I mean, sometimes you have moments of genius and insight, but it's just like pre-talk. Sometimes we have good pre-talk days, and sometimes we have bad pre-talk days. And sometimes you communicate very well, and sometimes you communicate rather poorly because maybe you're distracted or maybe your mind's somewhere else. And so in that respect, one of the most important things that anybody can do is write down the 20 questions, 10, maybe 20, maybe more questions that you think somebody might ask you, and write down answers to those questions. And when you do that, you can stand back and look at those answers and then engineer each one of those answers to make it perhaps more persuasive, or so that it can connect better with that client. And also write down your objections and how you'd like to answer those. I mean, knowing what you're going to say, when you're going to say it, how you're going to say it, and having some type of a format or a script to work from is good. Obviously, you don't want to read things word for word, but if you have the main points that you always like to cover in sequence in front of you and you have it in your mind, then you can really come off with something that conveys the information in a way that's most palatable without sounding canned. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different questions that come at us. And by the way, you guys, we did do a couple different podcasts on answering client questions. And so we gave kind of some ideas as to how to answer some of those most common questions that we get asked. And those are podcasts number 153 and 154. Elron and I did that series before. But yeah, you know, there are days, you know, Elron and I talked earlier where we're just not on our game. We're not our best. We're, you know, we all have days where we're not as focused or not as clear, or, you know, maybe we just got done doing something, you know, studying for something, and we're just kind of focused on that. And then we get a phone call and we take it. And, you know, sometimes if we're not prepared, if we don't have that information already kind of rehearsed and scripted a little bit, we might say something we didn't really mean to say, or not say something that we do mean to say. And so that preparation is so important to feeling comfortable and confident. And, you know, like Cal always says, hypnosis is a confidence game. And if you don't have any confidence, you don't have any game. And I think he says it in a little bit more fun way than that. But, you know, it's important to have confidence in your answers for these questions, and have some consistency, and have it be thought out and, you know, practiced a little bit, so that it does flow off your tongue, so you don't raise question marks in people's minds, right?
Absolutely. And I'd like to add to that and just sort of take a step back with, obviously, you want to be able to answer any questions that might come up, but most of the time, you want to be the one who's asking the questions, so that you just don't spend the whole time tangent chasing with your client. And so to go over the steps in the sales process that I think are important, obviously, and Maureen says this all the time, number one, you got to build rapport. You have to be warm, build trust and rapport as number one. Wouldn't you say, Meredith?
Absolutely. So important.
Yeah. I mean, first off, you have rapport, and then after that, that's step one. You want to find out what their needs are. You want to identify the customer needs, right? And in different people that you study, sometimes this is called finding the pain. You want to find out what that is. Or basically, you want to be asking the questions just like a doctor would be asking the questions. Well, what's been going on? What's been happening? Tell me about what kind of issue you want to work on. And really have some investigative questions that will uncover information. And then, of course, you want to, after that happens, this third step is to share the benefits of your service, whatever that is, what they can expect, okay? And then there's the benefit of the benefit. That's a key concept. There's the benefit. You know, obviously, they get their issue resolved, but then there's the benefit of the benefit. You can say perhaps, well, most of my people also sometimes work on one thing and other things get better. Or we can help you with that issue, but you're also going to find yourself feeling much more relaxed. Does that sound good? Okay, and things like that will really elicit a greater level of excitement and involvement from the client. But, I mean, let's just take a step back, talk about building trust and rapport. One of the first things you want to do is ascertain, number one, we can split into two categories. You have your general level of information that you know that you think your client has about hypnosis, like if they're either a gut level or a techie, or like right in the middle. Gut level is somebody who's never heard of hypnosis, they have no idea what it is, they're just totally a blank slate, okay? They've only seen stage hypnosis, or they've only seen stuff on TV, Hollywood. And your techie is somebody who's maybe been in therapy in the past, knows a little bit about hypnosis, and so you want to ascertain that right away. You also want to identify what kind of mood they're in. Are they in a laid-back mood, a medium mood, or are they heavy? And if they're coming on heavy, you got to be heavy back. Okay, you can't be laid back with a person who's heavy. What do I mean by heavy? I mean perhaps more your East Coast kind of type vibe. You know, they ask you a lot of direct questions. They want answers. And they are in a mood that's much more, interrogative. Wouldn't you say, Meredith?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just right off the bat, kind of their gruff is up, if you will. You know, they're kind of a little bit of an attitude, a little bit of a, you know, you're not going to take me. You know, it's me that's going to be, I'm going to be doing the question asking here.
Yeah. And with that kind of person, you really have to be heavy back. Not heavy with giving them attitude, but with taking control of the call. And so if their gut level, as far as their knowledge base of hypnosis, you want to be gut level too, and don't get technical, don't get into jargon. The more that you can use your client's words to explain to them what you do, the better. Every time you try to use a word that you might have to teach them what it means, it takes momentum out of everything else. So if they say, yeah, I just want to be reprogrammed, you don't say, well, we don't really reprogram you. What you do is you talk about the benefit of what you do, and you say, yeah, you know, kind of like reprogramming. okay? And you want to use their language as much as possible instead of trying to dance around different words that they might have as labels, because later on we can relabel those things, but to try to do that while you're trying to build value will just take out of the momentum. Another thing you want to do, and we talked about this before, and we talk about this several times, but I like to share this because this is something that I love to do, and there's two ways to handle it. And a lot of times this happens with a heavy client, but this can happen with a person in a light mood too. This happens with everybody because these days people are making different buying decisions, and they shop around. They tend to shop around a little bit more. And especially if you live in an area that is more saturated with hypnosis or a bigger metropolitan area, people are going to call around a little bit. They might be calling around. You might be their first person that they talk to. You might be their third person that they've talked to, and they might be used to getting the answers to these questions right away. But as Maureen talks about, one of the first things that people usually do is they call up and they want to know the price. They go, oh, hey, can I get a quote? I just like to know how long does it take and how much does it cost? Okay, and there's two ways to handle this. Number one, you can do a pivot, which is where you just don't answer the question and answer their and ask them a question instead. And you want to be careful with a pivot because sometimes they might feel like you're just ignoring them and trying to sell them. Okay, because the way that you can respond a lot of time, you say, well, what kind of issue did you want to work on? So you just don't even respond. You pretend you didn't hear it, and you say, well, what kind of issue can I help you with? Okay, that will work in a lot of different cases. If they are more of an astute shopper, they're going to know that you ignored their question. So you're going to be careful with that because that might be a rapport breaker depending on how you say it, depending on your tone of voice, and depending on their mood, ultimately. Another way that you can also handle that, other than pivoting, is to say, for me to best help you, I'd like to ask you a few questions first. Would that be okay? And then you have a yes. And it establishes the pre-frame for what you're going to do from then on. And then you don't have a tangent chase. Because one of the things that can happen is the client just calls up and they ask you questions and you just tangent chase what they do. You're just answering their questions. You go, oh, now we're going down this holler and now we're going down here like chasing a rabbit. And all of a sudden you realize that you may not have covered what you want to cover, positioning your services and really sharing the benefits that you have to offer. You've just been answering questions. Some of them smart questions, some of them maybe not so smart questions. There's no such thing as a dumb question, but some of them don't elicit as much value as others. Okay, there are good questions and bad questions. And so you make it more into an organized involvement interview when you do that. For me to best help you, I'd like to ask you a few questions first. Would that be okay? And as soon as they say yes, then you're rolling. You're in control of the conversation. And this works great with a heavy client. Is there anything you want to add to that, Meredith?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of do the same thing, but I say it in a little bit of a different way. And certainly it's okay to kind of put your own personal spin on it a little bit. But I always say something along the line of, gosh, I'd love to tell you that. I'd love to give you that information. But in order to really get specific about, you know, exactly how many sessions it will take, it's probably a good idea if I find out a little bit more about what's going on with you. Is that all right with you? You know, that kind of thing. And so there's a lot of different ways that you can word it. Is there anything from what you know, L. Ron, about what I just said that wouldn't work, or does that sound just as good?
No, that sounds great. I mean, with what you just said, yeah, I think that sounds great. I mean, it depends on what your business model is. If you usually sell the same amount of sessions to everybody, or customize the amount of sessions that you think people need. You know, I just speaking only for myself, I usually sell a typical package of 5 sessions, so that's what I do. Unless it's a smoker, I also have a 2-session package. I don't necessarily like to quote people how many sessions I think they need up front, because then they hold me to that. And this is really a digression going away from anything that we're just talking about. Maybe we can talk about this for a moment, Meredith, and I want to get your 2 cents on this. Telling people how many sessions you think they need. I tell them what most people need. as the average. I think that's what we do, between 4 to 6 sessions, maybe 5 sessions. Not everybody does that. I know a lot of session hypnotists that tell people that they usually take 3 sessions. There's some that like to sign them up for a 10-session package. It all depends on what you want to do with what your skills and abilities are and how you like to run your practice with all you hypnotists out there. I know some people like to do the hypnotherapy work and then supplement that with some ongoing coaching sessions. So selling them on maybe a 10-15 session package might be what you can do, or you might have multiple packages. And so if you sell multiple packages, what Meredith just said would, I think, work best. You know, so I can identify how many sessions it might take for you to work. I'd like to know a little bit more about what your issue is. Would that be okay? And sometimes, you know, I tell people, I say, listen, in order, I say, you know, once in a while, they don't want to tell me what it is. Okay? So this might happen with your really heavy client, or maybe they have an embarrassing subject that they want to work on. And I say, the more open you are with me, the more I can help you. Okay? But if you're not open with me, I can't help you. I don't add that second part all the time, but, you know, it's all about being of service to them, of, you know, giving in one way or another. It's about helping them and really letting them know that. But in order for us to do it, we got to set those rules.
Yeah, well, there are certainly specifics that you can get into, which, you know, you mentioned finding the pain, what the needs are. And so you're kind of doing both. You're getting an idea of the specifics of what's going on with them. And the reason why, you know, I'll say something like, you know, I want to kind of get a better feel for maybe how many sessions this might take, because a lot of my clients come to me with multiple issues. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, for those of you who are 5-pathers or know about 5-path, you know, we often can resolve several issues, many issues all at the same time with a single process, but that's not always the case. And so if someone really wants to work on, you know, 3 things, then I'm not going to tell them that I can resolve that in a, you know, in 5 sessions or 6 sessions or something like that. I never get that specific. I'm never, ever quoting an exact amount of sessions, you know, always letting them know that there's a little bit of variance for sure, depending on the individual and their issue. But, you know, if they have 3 issues, then it's definitely going to be more, and that's going to shift things a little bit more. But getting into what it is that they want to talk about, most people are willing to share it with you. And one of the questions I might ask them as well is, are you in a place where you're free to talk? And just it kind of helps to build that rapport, helps them to know that you really care, that you are you know, aware of their confidentiality and their need to be private, and that you're willing to respect and honor that. And usually just even asking that question alone is enough. You know, as long as they can talk, it's enough for them to feel a little more connected to you and kind of be willing to open up to you. And if they can't talk, you know, they may not be able to say, I can't talk. So it's a good question to ask, so that if they can't talk, they can right then say, oh, no, I can't. And without revealing that they're trying to hide something from the teenager that's sitting at the dinner table behind them. And then you can set up a time to talk at another time.
I really like that, Meredith, and I've used it from time to time. And what occurred to me as you're talking is that when you're saying, are you in an okay place to talk, or something along those lines, not only are you establishing that rapport, but you're letting them know that this is a conversation. This is a conversation. This is not just price shopping for gasoline or for, you know, dentistry services, okay? Like, how much you charge for a filling? Okay, good. Click, 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 you know, what's the next person to call? It's not just like lawyer services. This is a different type of service, a completely different type of service, where, number one, we have to know if we even think that we're the right fit for that person. And that lets them know immediately, like, hey, listen, this is a conversation, this is what it's about. And yeah, I think that really helps to warm them up and make it more of a two-way street in that respect. I like that.
You know, the truth is, even the person who's calling to really just ask questions, even that person does want to be heard. I mean, one of the biggest things that builds rapport is some listening. active listening, where you're clear that you understand what they're saying. Most people these days are not feeling very heard. And, you know, kind of everybody has their own agenda. They're all moving very quickly. It's a lot of communicating through Facebook and texting and email. And it's hard to feel really heard in that way. And so one of the best ways to identify whether this is somebody that feels like a good fit for you as the hypnotist, hypnotherapist, and one of the best ways to identify what's going on with them and to create that rapport is to share, to show that you are willing to listen and to hear what they have to say, and that it's not just this mechanistic answering of questions, that it is an actual connecting over the phone, and that you are a caring person who is in this work because you care and you want to hear what they have to say, and you're going to give them specific information based on what they do say.
Love it. Now, another thing you can do as far as write down the 20 questions that you think that they can ask is write down questions that you'd like to ask them. I mean, have these questions in front of you in advance, you know, good investigative questions. One of the things I like to ask people is, what made you think of hypnosis? Why hypnosis? Get a little bit of that. And when they're talking about why, you know exactly what benefits you want to share with them about your service. Okay, and really just get those questions down and maybe specify it to different issues. Okay, like questions that you might want to ask a smoker, questions that you might want to ask a weight loss person, questions that you might want to ask someone who's coming in for fears or phobia or for relationship problems, questions that are going to allow you to get more information but are ultimately going to help you identify what those needs are, because that helps you establish that relationship with what benefits you'd like to share with them, so that when you're going through what you do, you talk about the benefits that they can achieve with your service because they just told you their needs. But if you have to know what the needs are in their words, okay? Because if somebody just calls you up for smoking, you go, oh, well, they need to quit smoking, so that's good. And let me just assume that, you know, they're going to breathe easier, live better, live longer, save money. The needs that are in the top of their mind might be different. For them, it might be that it's going to improve their relationship, or that it's just going to be more convenient for them, or they might be able to go to this one type of meeting easier, or whatever the benefits are that are most important to them. You want to find out what that is to the client, and the best way to do that is by asking questions.
Yeah, I love that why hypnosis question, because there's so much information that will come out of asking that simple question. I mean, you will find out what other kinds of treatment they've tried. I mean, of course, they're not going to probably give you the long version that you would get in your first session, but the short version you will get. You'll find out how frustrated they are with everything they've tried, or you'll find out that maybe there's someone that has tried nothing, but they have decided it's a quick and easy way to resolve it. And, you know, they may be somebody who's really just looking for, you know, the magic bullet, the pixie dust, the super quick thing. And depending on what they say, that may be a qualifier that they're not motivated enough to do what they need to do to allow you to help them. So there's so much information that can come just from that one question alone. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Elron, we are just about out of time. We are out of time. Is there any last tip that you want to share before we wrap up this edition?
No, not really. I'd like to just do a preview of coming attractions. For next episode, what we're going to talk about, very briefly, we're just going to talk about how to qualify your clients, or perhaps what qualifies your client as somebody who can afford your services or is motivated to use your service during the conversations, what questions to ask. It's relatively simple. We're also going to talk about my favorite objection handling technique, and how to uncover and clarify objections, as well as closing strategies. And also, we're going to talk about the three reasons people don't buy, as well as words that you can use that are much more positively charged than negatively charged words that you definitely want to stay away from during a sales presentation, whatever it is. Anything you want to add to that, Meredith, before wrapping it up?
Well, I'm going to be doing it with you, but I'm going to be tuning in if I weren't, because that sounds amazing. I can't wait to hear everything that you have yet to share with all of us. Thank you so much, L. Ron. I'm going to sign off, and then I'll let you do your final sign-off. My name is Meredith Locker. My email address is meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. I am Cal's co-host, along with L. Ron. We usually alternate, but we get to do this special little sub-series together. And certainly, I'm always looking for your questions, feedback, comments, all of that. Feel free to email me anytime. You can also post them down there on calbanion.com below the podcast. There's a place to do that. You can go to ourhypnospace.com, and there's an Ask Cal group. If you haven't already joined it, do, and you can certainly post your questions, comments, feedback there. Really look forward to creating more community with all of you. Hope you've enjoyed this. This is Meredith Locker signing off.
Thanks, Meredith. And I'm L. Ron Ferguson. If you want to email me with any questions, complaints, discoveries, or to establish a relationship, get a conversation going, if you want to get to know me, pick my brain, feel free to email me at lronhypnosis@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to get to know you too. I love other hypnotists. I love to talk about hypnosis, anything sales-oriented, where I got this content, stuff like that. So I'd love to hear any suggestions that you might have and move our profession forward. I'm L. Ron Ferguson, signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banion and Cal Banion's Banion Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.